Welcome to the Central Live Podcast with Pastor Jim Caldwell. At Central Baptist Church in Phoenix City, Alabama, it's our mission to make disciples who make disciples. Let's join Pastor Jim as he shares today's message.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to the band and our worship leaders and choir. Thank you. Golly. Woo! Y'all get ready. I'm about to preach now. It's really kind of such a coincidence. Do y'all believe in coincidences? See, I don't. I don't. What we're studying in Acts, in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 4 today, and we're talking about principles of being the church. And it's kind of amazing. I know God's, you know, I mentioned earlier, is asking us to go out and be the church. You know, we may not be able to be within these walls together again for a few weeks, but we can be the church. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to be at that, doing that all the time. So we're in Acts chapter 4 today, and I want you to think about this question. I've said it a whole bunch of times, but here it goes again. Why does the early church look so different from the church today? And I want us to keep thinking about that question of, you know, why does it look so much different? Now, I'm going to tell you, they had a total dependence on God back during that time. They shared everything. There was this great focus on Jesus, on his mission. He had just left. Man, there was Holy Spirit power. I tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up here today. He's working today. But so many times we have so little power in the church today. And so I want us to look at some of these principles. So we're in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1. There's a lot of scripture today, okay? Y'all hang in there with me, okay? It's all worth it, I promise you. It's going to be really good. So Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it says, "As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And when they had laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So here it comes. Right before this, last week, we were looking, and man, the church, everybody loved them. It was awesome. But they are starting to really get big. The number is starting to increase. They're up to 5,000 men. That doesn't even include women and children. There were a lot of people. And this is all going on in Jerusalem right now. And this organism called the early church was growing rapidly. It was just expanding at this rapid pace. And the Jewish religious leaders were starting to take note of what was going on. And in fact, they were probably a little slow, but they're going, ooh. This thing's getting really big, really quick. We got to do something to stop this. So remember back in chapter 2, look, Acts 2, 46 and 47. I'll put it up for you. It says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Well, it all changed. They're not having so much favor anymore. The religious leaders are getting really ticked off about what's going on. These Christians were all good and everything. It was this great movement until the religious leaders of the day couldn't control it. Until they weren't in charge of it. They didn't like that whatsoever. What those Jewish leaders didn't realize is that this was going to change the world forever. Forever. So they arrested Peter and John. You know, just as the early church was persecuted, when we surrender our lives and follow Jesus, we're going to be persecuted too. In fact, Jesus doesn't mess around with that. He says that you will, if you love me, you will be persecuted for me. Not you might, Not, you know, it's always going to be an easy ride. If you're a Christian, you're on God's side, everything's always going to be good. No, you're going to be persecuted. When you stand up for your faith, you're going to be persecuted. You will be. It's an assurance. We're going to be. But we got power. Y'all, the same Holy Spirit that was around here in the early church is here today. He's in this place. He's working in our hearts. He was in our worship today. He's here. That same Holy Spirit is here, and He's working. So even though we're going to be persecuted, it's okay, because He's with us always. Look over at verses 5 through 7, Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. It says, on the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all of those who were of high priestly descent. And when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power and what name have you done this? Who and what name? Man, we just sang about that name. Your great name. I'm not going to sing it for you. Don't worry. See, we got to remember what happened in chapter 3, what was going on. There was a lame man. Remember from last week, if you were with us last week, there was a lame man. He had been lame for his whole life, 40 years. And he had been healed. He had been totally healed. And the religious leaders now are asking, okay, how did you do this? How did this happen? And this opened up the door for Peter. Remember, Peter's bold, right? He just tells it like it is. And so here comes Peter. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, the first part of verse 8 says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. See, this is important, y'all. I want you to take note of this. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Peter couldn't do this in his power. In his own power, he couldn't have done anything in front of all these religious leaders. He had been jailed. He couldn't do anything in his own power. His words are coming straight from the Holy Spirit. You know, we got the same power, y'all. Y'all know that? The same Holy Spirit that lived in Peter lives in me and lives in every follower of Christ. He lives in us. Hey, do y'all remember this verse? It's Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. See, it's a command for us to be filled with the Spirit. See, every person who is a follower of Christ, who has given their life over to Christ, has received forgiveness of sins, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But can I tell you, not every believer is filled with the Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, if you're filled with anything besides the Spirit of God, you can't be filled with the Spirit. Anything else. You can't be filled with alcohol and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It impairs who you are, what you're doing. See, you can't be filled with drugs and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be filled with worry and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, now I'm starting to step on some toes, right? We're good Baptists. We don't drink and do drugs, right? You hit worry. You can't be filled with worry and be filled with the Spirit. Just can't happen. It's not going to happen. Ooh, you know, you can't be filled with gossip and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Can't do it. You know what? You can't be filled with griping and complaining and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't. You've either got to be filled with Him and what He's doing, or you're full of whatever you want to be full of. Get it? Everybody understand? You can't be filled with hurt and bitterness and be filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with anything that's self and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You just can't. It's impossible. It's impossible to do. See, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember when Peter told Jesus, he told him, Lord, don't wash my feet. No way, you can't do that. And You remember Jesus ended up telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." See, that was Peter in his flesh, doing what Peter thought he needed to do. This isn't the same thing. This is Peter under the influence of the Holy Spirit, surrendered to what God wants him to do, about to share with religious leaders that could have him killed right that minute. He's about to share this message with them. It wasn't his power. It's the same power that Jesus had back then through the Holy Spirit. It's in us now. But we've got to be filled with the Spirit. It's exactly the same for us. Our principle for today, this is principle number six. Principle number six, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to live the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life in our own power. That only comes from surrender. Getting rid of yourself and letting Him have control. Look at the last part of verse 8, Acts 4, 8, going through verse 13. It says, "Rulers and elders of the people," this is Peter talking, "in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be made known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Now, can you imagine? That's bold, y'all. I'm going to tell you, to say, it's by the name of Jesus, the one you crucified. Now, these people could have him killed for saying this. And he's saying, it's you guys who did this. You crucified him, but God used it. You know, he shares the gospel in these few verses that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, that he was resurrected from the dead. He's now this chief cornerstone. He is the only way. He is the only way. I love verse 13. It's funny that the leaders, they recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. You know what? I can tell you more than just about anything else in my life. I hope people will say that about me. Oh, there's Jim Caldwell. You know what? You can tell he's been with Jesus. He's been spending time with Jesus. He's acting like Jesus. He's carrying out Jesus' work. Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Is your life a testimony to having been with Jesus? Peter and John were those guys. Look at verse 14. It says, "And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people,'" see, they're trying to shut it down, "'let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name.' And when they summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus." See, that's persecution, right? Hey, you can't speak in the name of Jesus. Y'all got to stop this. This is blowing up. It's getting too big. We can't have this anymore. Then he goes on. "Peter and John answered and said to them," verse 19, "'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" See, they couldn't stop. They had seen Jesus resurrected from the dead. There was nothing going to stop them, not even death itself, from That was the only way that they were going to have their mouths stopped. They couldn't stop speaking about what they had seen and heard. Verse 21, when they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. So they said, you know, stop teaching in his name. And they said, no way, sorry, can't do that. And they let him go. Can you imagine the prayer meeting and praise when they got back to all the other people? Hey, man, they put us in jail, but you know what? God delivered us from them. It was really awesome. You know, God's doing these great things, and we're just going to keep speaking the name of Jesus no matter what happens. Are we that bold? Are we willing? You know, I talked about one of the things that I know in my heart that we need to do is we need to go and try to care for our neighbors right now, those that actually physically live around us, and others that maybe come on your heart or mind. But do we care enough about them to tell them the truth of what God's done for them? Do we care enough about them to meet their needs and to be able to tell them the story about what Jesus has done? And is it really important? See, we do in our lives, we do what we want to do. I mean, if something is a high priority in our life, we make sure that we do it. How high a priority are the people that are just around us, that you don't have an investment in, really? You don't spend time with them every day. How important are they to you? Because I can tell you this, they're important to God. And he wouldn't have put you around them if he didn't want to use you. Now is the time to rise up and be used. But you know how we have to do it? Just like Peter did, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you going around in your strength helping people is not even going to do anything. It's got to be you surrendered to the power of Jesus, to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, going out to do it, and he'll do it through you. Verse 24 says, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. See, they realized that Old Testament scripture was just being fulfilled right before their eyes. They were seeing all this being fulfilled. They knew that Jesus had to die. They knew he had to die. At this point, they recognized, wow, Jesus had to die in order for us to have the Holy Spirit, for us to reach people. So now, in verse 29, they start praying for themselves. See, now we're getting to it, okay? They're going to pray for protection. They're going to pray to be delivered from all the bad circumstances. They're going to, oh, that's not how they prayed. Let's see how they prayed. Verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed for boldness and confidence. Isn't that funny? They didn't pray for safety. They didn't pray, protect me from these bad people who don't like us. They prayed that the word would go out. They prayed for boldness to share the word in spite of the circumstances. Y'all, that's exactly where we are today. We need boldness to share the word in spite of the circumstances that are going on right now. In spite of everything that's going on. In verse 29 it says that your bondservants. See, we can't relate to that word. It's not something we use in our culture. But a bondservant is a slave. But it's a slave that is there by choice. It is a slave who is chosen to follow his master. In that culture, it would have been a slave who probably had been treated really well by his owner and who said, I like my lot with you. I want to stay with you. And you would become a bondservant of that person. We are bondservants of Jesus Christ. That means that when we give our lives over to Him, we have chosen to become His servant. We have chosen, I mean, it's not a popular word, but to be His slave. To do His bidding instead of ours. Are we ready to pray those kind of prayers? For boldness and confidence in the midst of the storm? That's where we got to be, y'all. We got to get there. Look at verse 31. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. See, they were unified. They were serving Jesus with full bore. They knew exactly what they were there for. They were heading in the same direction. They had one heart and one soul. Now they were sharing everything they owned at that point. But you know, in verse 33, it says that there was great power. Great power. So why does the early church look so different from church today? They had great power. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't just have the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Back to verse 31 for a second. It says, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Can I tell you, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can't help but speak the word of God with boldness. You can't help it. It just comes as just natural. When you are filled with the Spirit, it's a natural thing. Natural thing to be speaking the Word of God with boldness. Principle number 6 from earlier, you remember? We must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to live the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life in our own power. Here's my question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Again, that's different from just having the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, why not? See, you can't live the life that God desires for you apart from being filled with His Spirit. You can't. It's impossible. Apart from being filled with the Spirit. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. We're coming to a time of response. Here's my question. What do you need to get rid of so that you can be filled with the Spirit? Is there something in your life that maybe God's working on you right now? Maybe you just need to commit it to Him. I'm going to open up the altar this morning. You can come and pray. We'll keep a social distance, but come and pray at the altar. What's holding back? You know, God wants us to serve Him with abandon. That means fully. That means with every ounce of our soul, our energy, everything we have. And he desires that because he loves having a relationship with you. And when we're filled with the Spirit, that relationship is just, it's like full communion with him all the time. And we can have that. But we got to get rid of self and welcome him in. If you don't know Jesus, you've never come to a point in your life that you've received Christ, that you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to be the king of your life, to take over. Today's the day. That needs to happen. If you've never done that, that's the way to start that intimate personal relationship with God. I'm going to be down front. I'd love to talk to you about it. Whatever God's doing in your life today, whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, at the end of this prayer, I want you to come. Let's pray together. Father, you are so good to us. And Lord, I thank you that you just keep calling us to holiness, that you keep calling us to commitment, that you keep calling us to fully surrender and follow you, Lord. And so, God, I know in my life there's things you're working on. And God, I know that to be true for all of us. Lord, let us be willing today to lay aside whatever's hindering us, whatever's holding us back, whatever's keeping us from being filled with your Spirit. And Lord, we're going to trust you to do it. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you this morning. I ask that this time just be pleasing to you. For it's in Christ's name I pray.
Thank you for listening to this Central Live podcast. If you'd like more information, visit our website at centrallive.org.